Welcome to Fresh Talk Radio. Want to hear fresh ideas on networking, business, marketing, leadership, and how to be the best business you can be? Then you're in the right place. Visit our website, freshideas.tv, for blogs, videos, and freebies to make your business brilliant and the best it can be. Or follow us on Twitter at Fresh Ideas Tweet, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Fresh Ideas for Business. Here's your host, the brilliant Mark Ford, MBA.
Hello again and welcome to Fresh Talk, the business radio podcast with freshideas.tv and the Art of Brilliant. Again, I welcome you to the Brilliant Business People Network. Hello, where we will talk networking, business, marketing and leadership, and all aiming to help you and your business be the best that it can be. I am Mark Ford, MBA, which stands for Might Be All Right, but I'm a business coach and a CEO of freshideas.tv with over 25 years of experience of business in so many different fields. Right, we are going to kick off today's podcast with a budget special. For those in the UK, we had the budget last week, so I'm recording this on the Sunday. It's going out on the Monday, so nearly a week ago. And there are lots of things in there for small business here in the UK, which is fantastic news, and in my own personal opinion, about damn time. So here are some highlights, just in case you've missed it. So some of the things that were announced is the cuts to business rates, and those are obviously the tax on non-domestic properties that would apply to shops, offices, pubs and holiday rental homes. So the rate relief on those will be doubled from £6,000 to £12,000 by 2017. Any businesses that occupy a property worth less than £12,000 will pay no rates at all, which is fantastic. And there will be a tapered rate relief on properties that are worth up to £15,000. And that means that changes will affect over 600,000 small firms. And that means they will not be paying business rates, which can only be a good thing. There have been some changes to corporation tax and capital gains tax reductions. So those are the taxes on profits made up by businesses in a certain period. So and capital gains tax is that kind of tax levied on profit from the sale of non-inventory assets. So corporation tax will fall to 17% by 2020, so we've got a few years yet. But capital gains tax will be reduced from 28% to 20% for the higher rate earners. And for lower rate earners, this will go from 18% to 10% from the start of next month. So that is April 2016. Fantastic. Class 2 national insurance has been removed. This is a list of contributions paid by workers and employers which go towards funding state benefits such as pensions, illness and unemployment. And those Class 2 national insurance will be removed for self-employed people by 2018. Now you'll only have to pay one type of national insurance if you make a £5,605 profit per year. That's quite an exact amount, isn't it? 5,605, but that's what it is. Okay, there's also going to be an extension of entrepreneurs relief. Now, this is a government scheme that was set up to help provide people selling their business a reduced rate of capital gains tax. This scheme can be used by business individuals, such as sole traders and limited company shareholders. Now, the relief will be extended into unlisted trading companies. Investors will only have to pay a 10% rate of capital gains tax. An existing £10 million has been added by the Chancellor on top of the existing amount, which is excellent stuff. There are a few more things. So we've got tax reductions on the sharing economy. That sharing economy can be understood as a system built around the system of sharing resources. So companies such as Airbnb, Zopa, Netflix will all be considered a part of the sharing economy. So there'll be two new tax-free allowances will be introduced from April 2017. Both will be worth about £1,000 each. One will concern the selling of goods and services, and the other will be for income or any property that you let out. And the last but not least is increased devolution, which can only be really good news. So devolution is a process whereby power is being transferred from the central government to local councils that are given more freedom to dictate their own policies. So now devolution will spread towards East Anglia and Greater Lincolnshire. Aren't you lucky? And this will give local leaders the ability to dictate regional economic policies. On the whole, do you know what? I think the budget was pretty good for small businesses. There's still a long way to go. I think that small businesses are the lifeblood of the UK and are becoming increasingly so in other countries as well, where more and more people are taking up to be self-employed or freelancers as the bigger companies make more and more productivity cuts. That's what they like to call it, but actually it just means reducing headcounts. So more and more jobs are being created in the private sector as freelancers and self-employed. So it is a good start. It can only get better. So on to the next part of the podcast. And this is the second part of our mini-series on networking. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next part of our mini-series on the Kama Sutra of networking. Every time I hear that music, it always sounds a little bit grubby, but it makes me smile, so that's why it is staying in. So we call this the Kama Sutra of networking, simply because people get themselves into ridiculous positions whilst networking, and actually forget and get themselves into a complete mess. So for instance, I've noticed that certainly where I live locally, there is yet another networking group that has suddenly appeared out of nowhere, which is pretty much a networking group which just involves alcohol. Guys, that's not networking. That is just getting drunk. Yeah, just honestly, people wandering around with business cards and talking to the people that they know already is not networking. So please stop it. And a special shout out for the local BNI who keep promoting themselves, saying, please come to our networking group, which is fantastic. I did try and come to your networking group, but you told me there are already two business coaches there, so I'm not allowed. Well, therefore, stop advertising it, because if you have two businesses, just actually, that is probably a reason why I do need to come, actually, to your networking group, simply because it's probably the same two guys that have rocked up for the last 12, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, however long, yeah, and people may be a little bit bored. I don't know, and I'm sorry if that offends you, but hey, that's why there are so many different types of supermarket and shop, yeah? You know, just behave. That just seems pointless. So, obviously, you know, if you're more into accountants at this BNI, don't go. Don't bother applying, because you'll just be told no. And then when you do apply and you are told no, and they tell you that they are going to send you details of another local group that will shortly be setting up, you will still be waiting for the details of that local group to set up 6 months later. Thank you. Rant over. So back to our mini series of the Kama Sutra of networking. Honestly, networking groups can be so quite pathetic. But I'm here to tell you how to do it properly, rather than just stand there with your business card looking slightly awkward. So as we continue to look into the world of networking, we're going to focus this one on the decision maker of the business. In fact, who is the decision maker? See, the smaller the business, the easier it is to get to the decision maker. But why waste time talking to someone in the marketing department if the person you really want to talk to is in accounts? Wherever possible, you should attend these events and meetings, having done a bit of research on who's there. If you've been there before and you know who you're going to target, then, my friend, you should prepare. A lot. See, there should be six important areas you should look at. Number one, know who you want to meet or are about to meet. Number two, know their likely challenges that you could help them with. Number three, focus on their afters and not yours. Number four, prepare something you could teach them and demonstrate your ability to help them. Number five, prepare a compelling story. Number six, know what you'd like to happen from that conversation. So, number one, know who you want to meet. Now, it's essential to learn more about people's sales, roles, jobs and businesses before you go to meetings or networking events. It's even better if you know what type of personality they have. Are they young? Are they high achievers? Opinionated? Brash? Introvert? Blah, blah, blah. There are many sources of information, such as websites, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, to name a few. And if you don't do anything else, at least attempt a bit of a Google search. Number two, know their likely challenges that you can help with. Now, if you've targeted someone, you may already have an idea of how you can help them. However, if you bowl up to them at the start with a sales pitch, what sort of impression would that leave? Well, probably the wrong one. What you'd like to do is listen and try some issue-based selling. It's where their issues and challenges lead the conversation. It's very effective when you offer them an interesting point of view about the value that you can bring them versus telling them what their issues are. You can demonstrate insight into their business and industry versus asking for the issues without giving something back or before you've demonstrated any credibility. Or if you choose to assume that your product or service is obviously their top priority, you know they definitely need it, they fully understand it, none of your competitors have offered it, or you are clearly the most superior, arrogant son of a bitch you've ever known, then of course go for it. You only get one shot, so let's see how that works out for you. Issue-based selling is where people listen and ask questions and are geared towards a conversation building trust, intimacy, credibility, and effectively leads to co-developing solutions, by far and away much better. Number three, focus on their afters. When you're talking to prospective clients or targets, When you're talking to prospective clients or targets, it's important to avoid the traditional what we do approach. This is where the seller, that's you by the way, focuses primarily on your own and not their agenda. People do this by listing their own strengths, their own products and services, their own thoughts, and their own specialisms and technology. Now here's the thing. They didn't wake up that morning and think, wow, I'd love to know more about your business. They actually woke up thinking, how the hell do I achieve X, Y, and Z? It's even more pointless when you realise you can't impress somebody with your ability to solve their problems if you don't know what they want to achieve. Fortunately, most of your opposition will start conversations just like that and talk about themselves. It sounds depressingly familiar, doesn't it? Now start like that and you'll be the same as your competitors. It turns them off. They're not interested in you, only in themselves. They're only interested in two things. Lots of good stuff, so that's more profit, more sales, better efficiencies, better morale and motivations, and less of the bad stuff, which is lower risk, less red tape and paperwork, less cost, and a whole heap less stress. They don't really want you. They want afters. Understand what they really want is key to the continuation of your relationship. Coming up with an alternative to their current strategy without hearing the phrases, we're doing that already, why do we need you or your product, but our business is different and I've heard that before, is hugely important. Although my favourite is the person I once heard in a networking meeting, absolutely true this, and they turned around and went, I'm sorry, but we don't have a problem that your solution fits yet. Which was great, just made me giggle. So people want to hear something that they haven't heard before. They want to hear a compelling story. They want you to listen to them and understand their problems. After all, most people's favourite subject are themselves. They want you to teach them something that they don't already know. Prepare something to teach them that will demonstrate your ability. So I'll give you an example. Have you ever lost your keys or phone? Why do you keep ending up going back to the same place over and over again as if they would miraculously appear? Well, they never do. But it's not until someone comes along and gives you a different idea or a fresh perspective that you'll find the solution. So when you say something that makes people think, I'd never looked at it like that, they see you as adding value. Normally, they'd have paid money for that piece of expertise. It also differentiates you, as you've taught them something new that they haven't heard it from someone else. And they're more likely to want to see you again, because they're thinking, well, what else can they teach me? The only problem with asking questions is that eventually you'll need to nerdle them into a position where they make that decision to see you again and have a proper meeting. As Henry Ford once said, if I'd done what my customers wanted, I would have built a faster horse. So you can research similar problems in industry by Googling, speaking to competitors, or business research sites. Use them and then give your target something to make them think. Ooh, I'd never have thought about it like that before. Number four, prepare a compelling story. Facts tell. Stories sell. Fact. Many people prove their credentials by explaining how they go ahead and do things. But this just proves what they do, not that it works or has any meaning. People buy from people. What you want to avoid is coming across like someone who markets a five-step program to success, then find out they've never ever been successful. So telling a story is a much better option. After all, no one else can use your story, and what's more encouraging is that your competitors are still banging on about what services and products that they offer anyway. Your story should be interesting, succinct with relevant points, less is more in a networking environment, build curiosity, directly address their issues, whilst raising some more, and contain a few points. Number 5. Know what you'd like to happen from that conversation. What do you want from this conversation at this networking event? Now, certainly don't expect to sign a multi-million pound deal with anyone there and then. You might want a follow-up meeting to further develop solutions for them, some introductions to others in their network, test a hypothesis, or qualify a potential sales lead. To secure their sponsorship, to unstick a conversation that isn't happening with one of their team, whatever it is, know your goal before you go in. Once you do, it's about delivering this version of success by delivering great networking experiences. Okay, so for some reason I've been falling all over my words on this, and this is actually the best take, would you believe it? It's just one of those days when I've woken up and my brain is seeing one thing, my mouth is doing a different thing. So I apologise if it sounds like I've stumbled over some words there. That's not great, but that is the way broadcasting is. So I apologise. But what I want is some feedback, guys. I need your feedback. I would love you to go to iTunes and go and rate this podcast. Tell me what you think. I would love you to email me and give me some ideas of what you want to hear me talk about. That'd be absolutely superb. So you can reach me at mark@freshideas.tv. That's mark@freshideas.tv. Give me some ideas of some guests that you'd like to hear on the podcast. I can always ask. I've got a couple of guests lined up and I'm really quite excited about those, but those are going to stay under wraps for now. So until next time, go out, be brilliant, be successful, and I'll see you on the other side. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to Fresh Talk Radio. Find out more information online at freshideas.tv. We'll catch you next time.